The National Pulse, weekdays, 3 to 6 p.m. to 6 p.m.
In fact, I want to just check if we are connected with Zaki Ahmed. There's sometimes a connection, disconnection that takes place. But anyway, having said that, Zaki Ahmed is with us. So this time round, he's this activist. Everybody knows him as an activist. I think he's been an activist, probably like the longest serving activist in the country for a long, long time. And I mean it as a compliment, Zaki. So good chatting to you. Hi.
Hello.
What I do?
That's a good one.
I think it is because you've just been an activist.
47 years, 47 and a half years.
Well, you've just given the answer then. Anyway, so perhaps it's a good way to start with you as this activist, right? You've taken your activism into the political, formal political space. But before I even get into what you want to do, what for you then is the state of South Africa? I mean, you can pronounce on it right now. You're giving your own State of the Nation address to the nation via the Pulse of the Nation. Go ahead and tell us.
I think perhaps to start at a different place. If we look globally, everywhere almost, people are disappointed in political parties. They've lost trust in political parties. And that is also true in South Africa. And that means representative democracy is in crisis. And this has given political parties and leaders who are stirring as much hate as they can, or spreading disinformation. This is also true because armies have left most people poor. Inequalities increased in a terrible way. And we find here in South Africa, for instance, the price of potatoes going up 110%. Over the next few months, immediately now, we're seeing a major increase in the maize price. So people are feeling insecure. In our context, state capture has hollowed out in an incredible way the capacity of the state. And no matter what anyone says, we cannot do anything unless we fix the state. And I'll come back to that in a moment. But in this election, looking forward, we have to say the following. Over the last 30 years, we have seen some fantastic changes in the country. Fantastic. We've had people connected to the grid, people who never had electricity before. We've seen people get homes that didn't have homes before, and that homes aren't the best. They really have increased spatial injustice, but it is a roof over someone's head. We've seen people connected to water. These are important milestones in the history of the country. We can have this conversation on the basis that neither of us are going to get arrested depending on what we say or do. Now, on top of this, you find that the economy grew extensively until 2008, when we had a very serious collapse in the economy because of the global financial crisis. Mm. Now, in the 30 years, the first 5 years, we had the most superb parliament, one that invited people in, one where politicians, or rather ones where members of parliament acted like members of parliament, not like politicians. They would invite communities to give evidence. They would invite organizations, and they would invite progressive experts, because none of those people, whether it was Dr. Aben Khomo, whether it was Dr. Esau Jassat, whether it was Ms. Albertina Sisulu, any of them, none of them, Ben Turok, none of them thought they knew everything. They wanted to learn, and they also wanted to do the best that they could. From 1999, with the arms deal, with Hitachi Eskom deal, with HIV, the ANC members were silenced. And that meant that Parliament shut itself off from listening to people. That has meant that Parliament assisted and promoted state capture and corruption. And that led to a corrosion of state capacity. The implementation of affirmative action and black economic empowerment has been a disaster. Not the principle itself. The principles are correct, that historically marginalized communities who are poor need to be uplifted. that broad-based economic empowerment must, of course, will, of course, deal with working-class people. But what has happened is that the ANC has regrettably allowed that legislation to be used to appoint people who are corrupt, people who are incompetent so that they cannot see what is wrong. It has gotten rid of really fantastic, really fantastic black civil servants and white civil servants in order to pursue an agenda that was against Section 195 of the Constitution, which requires an open, accountable, efficient government. I don't want to go on too long about how bad state capture is, but I want to end here, perhaps, and say this. This election is one that opens up the possibility of violence for the first time since 1994. Why? We are witnessing a terrible return to tribalism and particularly in KwaZulu-Natal. We've already witnessed an attempted coup by former allies in that province. We now seeing something that has historically happened in the Cape, in Western Cape, is the fear that colored people have of black African people, together now with a much deepened racism within the colored community. Not, and let me not speak in a generalist way. Mm-hmm. There's a hardcore of racists. So for instance, you have one of the political parties saying, anyone who's come to Cape Town, to the Western Cape from the Eastern Cape since 1994, must pack up, sell up, and go. Now, for me, that is an horrific statement that encourages war. Similarly, you have another one saying that the Western Cape is culturally Afrikaans, like Zululand, KwaZulu-Natal is culturally Zulu, and therefore should only be open to people speaking Afrikaans. You have xenophobia being whipped up. So what is important for all of us is to look at how we can first build working class unity. And when I say working class unity, I mean unity among all poor people, rural and urban, but specifically working class unity between black African and colored, between people irrespective of tribe or religion. These things are essential to be able to take our country forward. And I think if I had to say this again, for me, the possibilities of a dangerous time ahead, economically dangerous, socially dangerous, and so on, means that we politicians and political parties have to be careful how we speak to each other, because we will need each other come the 31st of May.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's interesting you ended on that, we will need each other, which is something that I've often thought about, because I not just now, it's election season, but even for the better part of a year, I watch these political parties and I watch them argue with each other, and I've seen them on TV even in the last week, right? Almost oblivious to the national cause, you know, like what is the national cause and really what do we need that's right for the entire country? And all they're doing is they're squabbling with each other, and we are onlookers, like we're watching a game of rugby and you're watching players scrum at each other and come out all messy and we just have a bit of a laugh and that's what it is. So I think you've raised really important issues. In fact, in many ways you are the national pulse. You're the manifestation of the national pulse, and that's how we'll talk to you about it. So what I'm going to do, Zaki, I'm going to pick up on some of the things you've said, right? I also would invite callers. So what we'll do is maybe we won't take the calls right away, but you can WhatsApp, text or voice note immediately, and we'll play them maybe just after 5:30 thereabouts. Certainly won't take the calls now until then as well. But feel free to do that, and you can comment, you can challenge. I mean, some people clearly challenging Zaki Ahmad already about these issues about the DA, for example. You can certainly do that. And you can also post on our social media platforms, in particular on the live Facebook accounts we have, as well as on the Twitter or X platform, and just tag SAFM Radio and myself, Ashraf Ganta, and look for that, well, post with that hashtag, the National Pulse, as we connect with Zaki Ahmad and get a sense of what he feels about the National Pulse right after this.
X at SAFM Radio and at Ashraf Garda.
Now, you know, Zaki Ahmad, of course, with me, and Zaki, I'll say this, you know, all the issues you've raised, we may discuss some of the technicalities of whether you're right here or not, but what I can say, I think with certainty, there is a grave disillusionment or a growing disillusionment amongst many, many people, not just with the governing party, but with parties and with parliament, right, in terms of its role. And I think something you've alluded to earlier on as well, right? So having said that, your position to step in to what I'd call formal activism, although one may not suggest that your informal activism is any less, I'm sure you get that, formal activism via parliament and being an independent. Give me the motivation.
I mentioned before the distrust of political parties. I also mentioned the state that the country's in. Over the last 7 years, maybe going into the 8th year now, I've worked in Unite Behind on state capture at Prasa. And that is one of the key things that pushed me into, and my colleague saying to me, you have to stand as an independent candidate. I believe that our constitution guarantees three things which are critical. First and foremost, it says that South Africa is also a participatory democracy. Now, representative democracy is when we elect people, but throughout that period, every person in South Africa has the right to participate in lawmaking, in policymaking, and in decision-making that parliament and any legislature has. Similarly, our constitution guarantees participatory governance. So we have a duty as people who live in the country to say this. We want to know how budgets are put together. We want to know how they are spent. For instance, we've had a cut in the city of Cape Town of 60% of EPWP jobs, which has come through a national cut. How on earth are people not asked, and why are people not saying this is inappropriate? Why are you cutting here and not SAA? So, for instance, participatory governance is a critical part of it. The most important part of the Constitution for me is not the Bill of Rights. It is important. We mustn't get away from that. It's critical to have the right to life and dignity and so on. But in order to realize that, Section 195 of the Constitution sets out what public service should do and what public service should be. I've now watched the Standing Committee on Public Accounts since it was established. And it was very often one of the best committees in terms of, and it still is, in being able to hear the Auditor General speak and present her reports and show where things are going wrong, whether at municipal level or whether at national level or provincial level. I want to go to Parliament to take people's voices back into Parliament, not my voice, but to do what the ANC did in 1994, and that is invite people in to give evidence. Any MP has the right to ask for people to be invited. Any MP has the right to get access to documents. Every MP has the right to attend any committee and ask questions as well as make a contribution. You can only vote as an MP on the one or two committees that you're assigned to. My job would be, and this is why I am going to Parliament, is to bring people's voices in and to bring progressive experts so that we can all learn together. But critical, I can't succeed if there isn't a movement outside. And I can't succeed if I don't work with like-minded MPs, other MPs. As an independent, I'm free to do that.
But it's interesting, you know, you mentioned, I think, Scopa, right? Because I made the point even yesterday that sometimes the real movers and shakers in Parliament are not what we see at the annual State of the Nation address, but those that are in those standing committees, and they play a significant role. And I know many have suggested, Zaki Ahmad, that's exactly where you need to be. But you made the point about bringing people into Parliament, and you also need the support on the outside. So who would you bring in? How would you bring them in? And what sort of support do you actually have on the outside?
Well, my campaign has built several activist forums. One is, for instance, the Disability Activist Forum. The experience that people with in our country, people living with disability have in our country, is one of horror if you're working class. And even if you're middle class, you struggle. And that is, I can tell you about Bonisile Silinga, who is about to have two legs removed, two legs amputated, but she cannot use a wheelchair because it can't get into her shack where she has lived since 1987. And so you have a situation where the children with autism sitting on the ground in a shack cannot find a toilet, get flooded out, scream when the lights go out. So building a disability forum at community level and linking it up with as many organizations dealing with people living with disabilities and bringing those voices into parliament is what I would like to do.
Okay, and there's similarly, more, of course, yeah. Carry on, very quickly, yes, on the news. Yeah.
Similarly, I think the other critical area of work is youth. The campaign has a youth activist organization called Youth in Action, and their slogan is, "We are not the future, we are now." And the main focus of their work is on alcohol substance use disorder. The first thing I'm going to do when I get to Parliament is to ask that the liquor bill be amended. The amended liquor bill be brought in as law.
Okay. Put that on pause. I want to find out how. Put that on pause. I want to find out how. We continue chatting to Zaki Ahmad, who's now standing as an independent candidate. So basically, he wants to get into Parliament, but he doesn't want to get it through a party political ticket, but he feels strongly enough about the issues in the country to understand that he has to get into Parliament to effect the changes that he feels strongly about. What do you make of that? We'll take your calls in about 10 minutes or so. For now, let's get the news headlines with Greg Hose.
X at SFM Radio and at Ashraf Garda.
I can tell you it's a huge management act, how we manage time between myself and my guest Zaki Ahmad, and of course getting your feedback as well. So let me do this. We'll take three calls, probably the most we can take for now. Not quite now, in about 5 minutes' time. Okay, so three calls, and if you get in, be short, sharp, to the point, because we need to get Zaki to respond to that. That's one. I'll take three voice notes now as well. Maybe just before I get back to Zaki Ahmad, and then maybe he can respond to those two. So here's voice note one.
Hi, Ashraf. Great intro there from Zaki Ahmad. Very impressed with him. Can you please ask him what's his assessment of DA within the Western Cape, particularly in line with their claim to excellent service and performance, while we see obviously the Cape Flats and Black Township remaining behind on this so-called excellent service and great performances at Cape Town?
Okay, that's the one. What I'll do, I'm going to play another, then we'll get my guest to respond to that. Let's get another.
Good afternoon, SAFM. My honest opinion about this politic environment as a whole, I doubt there's anybody that will be voted in power and then would satisfy everybody's needs, like building houses for everybody, providing free education, providing jobs. None of them can do that. It's all hearsay. So for me, running for president, it's just a power hungry kind of competition, nothing more, nothing less.
Okay, another one, power hungry. Let's get a third voice note.
I'm sorry, I was just saying that. So I'm listening to the statements that are being made, particularly the one that there's 30,000 jobs in the country, teaching jobs in the country. And my thing is, regardless of the availability of these jobs, right? We can't get these jobs, and we, including myself, being a young teacher, we cannot get these jobs. Because why? Because these jobs are for sale. And an interesting thing is that one of the provinces that were listed, that they have the highest job opportunities is actually the province where people are running away from, saying they cannot afford to buy the jobs. KZN Department of Education, or rather the principals who are hiring, are charging teachers for jobs. They are saying to teachers, 50,000, the job is yours. Where do I get this 50,000 as a young teacher? I just graduated. I have no money, right? And for those who don't have money, some have relatives, aunts, uncles, anything of that nature. They have connections. They know people in high places. And then people like us who don't have connections, who don't have 40,000, we are doomed. We are stuck working for private schools that treat us like we did not spend 4 years of our lives getting our degrees. So it's a mess. It's a mess.
Okay, clearly very, very disillusioned. It's a mess. It's a mess is what that caller says. So my guest is Zaki Ahmad. Let me tell you what we'll do. We'll talk now nonstop up to 6 o'clock. I'll take 3 calls, not now, in a few minutes' time, maximum 3. But Zaki, we stopped it around news time, around the issue of the youth. And perhaps if I can ask you to connect your point about the youth with this call about young people and getting jobs, and your thoughts on how that can be remedied.
I really empathize with that young teacher. One of the things that has happened, in addition to the manner in which advertising for posts and getting them is a corrupt process, is that the government has cut teaching bursaries by 54% in a country where we need more teachers, because the median age of teachers is over 50, meaning that we don't have enough young teachers. So to come back to Youth in Action and substance use disorder, I want to agree with your caller that the Western Cape's working class has been systematically and systemically neglected by the DA government over a very long time. The fact that we have a better mayor now and a better premier is a good start. The fact that the city's infrastructure budget has gone up and is now larger than all the metros put together is very, very important. But that doesn't address the lack of dignity in informal settlements. That doesn't address the massive human settlements problem that we have based on spatial apartheid. And spatial apartheid is in every part of the country. But here in the Western Cape, especially because colored is divided from African and white, and middle-class people like myself live in the city, the price of the rental costs in well-located areas is unaffordable to most working-class and middle-class young people. So young people on the Cape Flats, I went to canvas in Elsies River, Eerste Rivier, Delft, and Leonsdale. Mm-hmm. And in the areas during the day, it feels like zombie town. People are scared to come out. Yeah. And essentially that is because of gangsterism and drugs. But the single largest drug that is causing a problem in our country is alcohol. In this sense that it takes money away from people. It leads to violence, domestic violence, violence in shebeens, taverns, violence on the streets, whether it's in Long Street, whether it's in Claremont. And of course, it leads to a whole range of social and health questions. So here we are in a situation where that is combined within the drug economy proper, the illicit drug economy. So the legal drug economy and the illegal drug economy is causing a huge problem in our townships and communities. And the DA government has failed to address, even the city has failed to address, the need to control licensing, the need to enforce the rules to ensure that children don't buy alcohol.
And link to this, Zaki, I mean, here's a question from
Terence in the Northern Cape saying, I want to ask Mr. Ahmed, how will he stop gangsterism and the high level of drugs and guns in Cape Town and surrounding areas in the Western Cape? Every political party tried over the years and no one could stop it. So very related to your conversation. Go ahead.
So very, very quickly, your other caller spoke about people wanting to be president. I don't want to be a president. I want to be an MP that holds the executive to account. The people who claim they're going to give 400 million jobs, they're going to end gangsterism and so on. At the moment, Ashraf, I think anyone who says to you we can end gangsterism is not speaking the truth. They're not speaking the truth. What we have to look at is a whole long 20, 30-year program. Our biggest problem, apart from gangs, is that our police service functions like franchises of gangs.
Explain that.
You know, I was part of the, I helped get the Khayelitsha Commission of Inquiry functioning. And I think there was more lawlessness from within the police than inside the community, structural lawlessness. And by that I mean knowing where crime occurs and not doing anything about it. Bribes being passed on, dockets getting lost on a scale that you can't believe, and dockets don't get lost just because they get lost. They get lost because police very often sell them. In one of the cases that I was involved in, that of Lorna Mlofana, it was found that I can't remember if it was Zoliswa Nkonyana or Lorna Mlofana, but the police assisted the escapes of the perpetrators. The police assisted the escape.
Okay, point made. I'm gonna push you only because I can see time's just crazy here, right? Here's the thing, right? What I want to ask you specifically, right, in terms of therefore your role as an independent candidate, right, you obviously want to get elected, right? How far are you on that journey of actually getting the votes necessary that people will not vote for a party but vote for you to get into parliament, and then once you get there, to have the necessary alliances that you may lack if you're not part of political partisanship?
Right. This last Saturday, we had a fantastic rally in Khayelitsha of more than 3,000 people. What struck me there is it was a rally for volunteers, not so much a rally for the public. We didn't advertise it at all. It was simply the apparatus that our movements, the Disability Activist Forum, the Amacha Chomba Activist Forum, the Queer Activist Forum, and the youth have built. So literally, we're bringing people out. But what is difficult is that the legislation has been built to make it virtually impossible for an independent to get elected. And that means that, first and foremost, I have to raise money like a political party. I have to be present in every voting district if I want to get elected against these political parties. Now, obviously, I can't. No other independent has the type of network that I have, that I've helped build with others through movements over the last 40 years. So the critical question here is, the legislation has been set up to make people fail. I'm not going to fail.
You're not going to fail.
And but the reason...
Yeah, why?
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you said you're not going to fail. Why the confidence?
I think I have confidence in what I stand for. I stand for fixing the state. I believe... I said I work with any political party, but that doesn't mean I'm going to allow people to be dishonest. So when people say we're going to provide a job in every home, we're going to provide so many million jobs and so on, my job is to say you cannot do that unless we all work together to do one thing, and that is fix the state. We have a division of labor over who's going to look at the worst municipalities. We have a division of labor on who's going to bring Transnet back so that the fruit that's stuck on the farms, all the food that's stuck on the farms can get to places where they need to.
All right. So you talk about fix the state, reclaim parliament, building our communities is absolutely key issues now. We've got about 3 minutes to go. So I think those points are punctuated enough, right? Here's the thing. I'll take three calls very quickly. But before I get to that, how would you measure that you've been successful when all this is done? And we talk 5 years from now. How would you measure that Zaki Ahmad has achieved?
The most, The most important thing I would like to achieve is for communities to understand what the Municipal Systems Management Act is, what the Public Finance Management Act is, and how they can use that to build community power. I would also like to be in a situation where I've contributed in a very small way to re-establishing a progressive politics that is non-racial. And that puts working class people first.
And many may want to do just that, right? Let me get to the callers now. Well, this is what I'm going to do. We've got 2 minutes to go. I'm going to get 3 calls. I want you to be 30 seconds each maximum. Then I'll get Zaki to answer all 3 in one go. So really, you cannot be more than that because we just don't have the time. Matlakala, go ahead. Hi.
Hi, Ashraf. What I want to ask from Zaki, I just want to know, what is his position when it comes to labor broking?
Because okay.
Labor broking is a modern day slavery.
Right. Got that, labor broking. Sandile, go ahead. Hi.
How are you, Ashraf?
Thank you.
I understand he sleeps on disability, but does he consider this pandemic of 35 and above unemployed disabled people? Thank you.
Okay, the issue of unemployed disabled people. Dumila, go ahead, 30 seconds.
Ashraf, I want to ask Mr. Zaki, how can he bring back the actual main reasons for the struggle, which is survival, to actual wealth, because now we are in survival mode. Everyone is crying for their rights.
All right, got that. Got that. 3 important questions. Zaki, you got a minute to answer that. That's the time deadlines that we have as a country, isn't it, in many ways? Go ahead.
Indeed it is. I can only start by saying this, that unless the people who've just called in take power into their hands, start studying, and I don't mean in a formal way, I mean finding ways that they can get their MPs to work. At the moment, you have a constituency MP. They just don't work in your community. So for me, how do we get economic freedom? That is a question that I don't have an answer to. I really don't have an answer to, because it is complex. And politicians will tell you they have answers, but they don't. But I stand for a universal basic income grant, because we're going into artificial intelligence. We're going into robotization. What's happening is poor people are fighting each other. 35-year-old plus people are saying we are being excluded. Yet the majority of people proportionately that are unemployed are under 35. Working class people are being pitted one against each other. It is not only over 35-year-old people living with disability who don't have jobs. Virtually every working class person with a disability does not have a decent access to work or to meaningful life.
Absolutely.
So my job is to hold people accountable.
Okay, that's where we're going to leave it. I'm going to lean on you, in fact, to maybe tweet out some of your additional views. Just tag myself and SAFM Radio. I'll gladly share that and even read them out to the audience tomorrow, because I think it's that important, okay? So Zaki Ahmed, before we end up, you know, in terms of what you said about taking control of the situation, we'll end with the words of Muhammad Ali as our parting shot. And he said, "He who is not courageous enough to take risks will accomplish nothing in life." And there you are. Zaki Ahmed, risk taker, activist, now activist in Parliament and outside of Parliament. Best wishes for what comes up for you on May 29 and beyond. That's it. Thanks, Zaki. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
There we are, right? Zaki Ahmed, fascinating, and there's so much more to come. Do follow him and see what he says about a range of issues.